back to another episode of The Rule of Three. Two comics, three topics, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. I'm here in Minneapolis, Brian Miller here, and I'm literally here with Tim Slagle.
In Minneapolis.
Yes.
Here we are. This is this the third time, fourth time that we've
at
done?
At least the
fourth time we've done the podcast.
Maybe even five.
On the Acme stage, really.
Yeah, because the first one, the very first episode was here. I think one time you were just in town for like a random Wednesday, and I thought, might as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
And here we are again. So if you notice the difference in the acoustics, you can't hear the planes flying over Brian's house.
Yeah. We'll edit that in.
You cannot hear my coffee mug click on the saucer.
Or my cats. I'll play my cats yowling in the background. But always nice to be here. A live show. I mean, there's only Derek's watching, but it's a live show still.
Yeah, we even got a bit of an audience.
Yeah, and we got a couple good topics. Halloween show, we're talking Halloween coming up a little bit. I know your favorite holiday and mine as well. And we got Fats Domino passed away. We'll pay a little tribute to Fats. Not Minnesota Fats, Fats Domino. Different. Tiddlywink Slim is still okay. News is finally starting to shift a little bit out of the two stories that have been dominating for 3 weeks. Jeff Flake made a big speech. That I think might wind up being predictive of something. Not predictive exactly, indicative of what things to come.
Sure.
So old Jeff Flake, senator from
Arizona. Not in a good mood. He's actually a frosted flake.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Does he have a Trump nickname yet?
I don't know. I should tweet that one, maybe.
Yeah, he'll have one by the end of the week.
Wine and Jeff Flake.
Yeah. There's definitely going to be one. He got up in front of the Senate. He announced he's not going to run again. And then he made a big speech where, you know, I've got some highlights here. We don't have to read the speech or anything. But he basically, you know, we should never regard as normal the regular and casual undermining of our democratic norms and ideals. It was a longish speech, and it was, you know, pretty pointedly, hey, I think the president's a big jerk.
I'll have those frosted flakes with sour grapes, thank you.
Well, I definitely think he's... And I have thought he's a guy – him and Ben Sasse, I thought, were the two guys who looked like they were positioning themselves as Trump alternatives for 2020, be it on a third-party ticket or maybe, you know, I don't think it's going to happen, but I think some people think maybe they either won't run again or –
Well, I hate to steal here, but a friend of ours, Andrew Lee, who is on the Drew and Justice show on K-Talk this morning, said that he sees Flake running as a libertarian. And it was like an aha moment for me because, yeah, it's libertarians are always looking for, you know, someone with some kind of name recognition.
And some, like, the problem with libertarians or any third party is that a lot of times these people aren't far enough up in the government, so it's like, well, what have you done? Is the double-edged sort of third party. It's like being in showbiz, right? I'd put you on TV if you were on TV, but you're not on TV.
So you've got a software engineer, a Bitcoin investor.
A grade school teacher who's, like, really, really moral, you know? Which is great. I mean, I don't even have a problem with that, but it is tricky for third parties. And so, yeah, you get a guy like Flake with some... Well, that was the appeal also, I think, of old,
Gary Johnson?
Yeah, Gary Johnson. You know, he'd been a governor, and that was a big...
Yeah, and there was also Bob Barr.
Yes, Bob Barr, right.
Also ran as a libertarian. So the Libertarian Party seems like a cart that's always looking for any horse that wants to hitch themselves
kind of. Well, I mean, hey, the Libertarians darn near had a Trump candidacy, he talked about running for a libertarian, 8 years ago or something like that?
I do not remember that.
I
know Howard Stern was thinking of it.
Sure. That's a new condition of politics, right, is that like now it's like, ooh, is Kanye West going to run? Is Oprah? Zuckerberg? You know, it's like all of a sudden the field is open.
Well, yeah. Well, that's thank you, Donald Trump, for that. It's pretty much the bar was pretty much lowered 8 years ago, but now – that's just sitting on the ground. It just pretty much anybody who you've with any name recognition whatsoever can for whatever reason.
I mean, like showbiz, really, right? It doesn't like, are you funny? I don't know, but you got a lot of Instagram followers, so we'll book you for a Tuesday. It really is the same thing, right? Where it's like you've got a brand. But yeah, I think he might be right. So you think there's any chance that he might be pushing to? He still seems to have some skin in the Republican game, does.
Yeah.
So I do wonder if he – I mean, I think if he's smart, he's probably going like – he's saying like, well, let's see how this shapes up. Like, don't declare any specific intentions.
Well, I've actually heard suggested that Donald Trump might actually run third party.
Oh.
And actually say, you know, I'm not going to go through a bunch of debates. I'm just going to run third party. And the person who speculated this, really interesting, if the other is that he has 45%, I think, support right now. And
among Republicans.
What? No. Nationwide. He's at 45%.
His approval rating was like 39.
Yeah, I know it was. It's up to 45 now.
Really?
It's a solid 45, too. It's not, yeah. It's so you figure 45, if the other two split the remaining 55%.
It's kind of like a reverse of what you think of the third party doing, right? Usually you think of the third party splitting.
Drain the mainstream vote off.
Yeah, as opposed to the other way around.
Yeah, so it's a real interesting speculation.
Now, do you think of that 45%? The question though then becomes: does some of that 45% bleed over to the Republican, or does he maintain that 45%?
Yeah, well
there's no precedent for that, right?
The 36%. I mean, I think it did go down all the way down to 36%. But even with 36%, that's still in an evenly, you know, if you split the other two evenly, yeah, that's still
the math adds up. Interesting. Yeah, I do. This next 2020 is going to be. I don't think we know what it's going to be like. I don't think we're going to know what it's going to be like until like.
Well, we did. No one guessed 2016. Did
right?
They?
No. Everyone's out of the prediction business a little bit more now, anyway, just because of that. But yeah, I mean, I think there's so many precedents that have been overturned that it could go.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of last election was for pollsters like what the Pinto was for Ford dealers.
Yeah, yeah. Did you agree with anything Flake said or Flake's speech at all?
I agreed that he's not running.
Well,
he's sitting up there whining. Instead, trying to sound very diplomatic and statesman-y, and the truth is, his internal polling is showing that there's no way he can possibly, that there's nothing that can happen that he can win next year. So why embarrass himself? That's basically what's going on right now.
Right. Whereas with Corker, for instance, I don't think that's the case with Bob Corker. I think it could be a tough election, but I don't think they're right. I don't believe
did Corker not, say did Corker say he's not running?
Yeah, Corker's not running.
Yeah, well then he's got internal polling that says no way. People they've already done like sample candidates, people that might run them run against him in a primary, and they're already going to say you're going to lose in the primary.
Well, I think Flake is. I don't even mean this in a totally cynical or negative way, but I think Arizona, I guess, is becoming a very polarized state. It's very, you know, like it used to be kind of thought of as a Republican state. Now it's kind of, I've heard, pretty 50-50. But the thing with Flake is his 50, that 50% that should be Flake's, is not that enthused about Flake. And so Flake's numbers are more like mid-30s.
Yeah.
And that, like, he's going to, you know, that he, so he, then of course, if Trump also, you know, messes with him during the primaries or whatever, that even further imperils that. So it's
starts campaigning. Yeah.
Flake's nationally moved toward what would be the center, but kind of moved away from what works in Arizona. So I think it's all poised for a national push. That's what it seems to me. And maybe Flake's basically making roll of the dice is like, hey, if Trump does something catastrophically awful or stupid in the next year and a half.
You're saying that in the future tense?
Well, I know. But something so bad that it actually affects him, I don't know what that would be.
I know. We were talking about that this morning. Is that how many times have people said, well, this is it? This is – Trump is done for at this point. This is – and, in fact, when we were doing election predictions, when we almost had a bet, is that he had done some – he did – we had a bet, and then I can't remember what it was, but he did something.
It was the pee-grabbing tape, I think, wasn't it?
The pee
– well, I'm trying not to say the word that we're trying not to say on our family-friendly show. the handle that Donald Trump likes to use for women, the way people use a briefcase handle?
No. That was not it. Because that one I said no way. You know, because he's running against Hillary. It's, you know, who supported her husband when her husband was doing the same thing. No, I knew that one wasn't. It might have been the McCain remark. It was something like that. It was something involving the military that I said, I'm not so sure anymore.
Yeah, I've posed this question to a couple people. Maybe I did this to you off air. Genuine question. I say. If there was audio of recently of Donald Trump using the N-word, do you think it would hurt him that badly? I don't know the answer. I'm not claiming to have the answer. But I really...
You certainly have the question.
I have the question. I don't have the answer. I really don't know.
And I'd give you an answer.
Except. Talking Halloween on the final segment of Rule 3. But first, somebody you might see this Halloween, if you
believe that the dead walk.
Yeah, depending on how invested you are in Halloween, you might see Fats Domino died, 89 years old, which, you know, very, very sad, surrounded by his family and friends. You know, it's always sad when someone goes, whatever, but like, whenever I see, particularly like an entertainer, an old school entertainer, dies at like 90, all I can ever think of is, good for you, man. Because, you know, what are the chances Fats Domino lived a Jim Fix lifestyle or the, you know.
Well, unfortunately, when somebody's also of that age and of that era, when you find out that they die, the first thing that goes to your head was he alive?
Yeah, and this one, I thought he had died maybe a little previous, but I did remember that people had thought he had died in Katrina, which I haven't seen pop up as much. You know, he lives in New Orleans, and in the initial melee confusion of Katrina,
sure,
no one knew where Fats Domino was. I mean, he, you know, it turns out he was, I never found it exactly, he's like on someone's couch or, you know, doing what people had to do, you know, going to Louisiana for shelter or whatever.
Didn't bother telling anyone.
Well,
everybody knows where I am.
It was very chaotic. So Fats turns out to be alive. Of course, famous for Blueberry Hill. Ain't That a Shame When I'm Walking?
How fat was he?
Oh, it's so funny. I was just having this conversation with my friend Bob. Said, not that fat, because old version of fat in America is just regular now. Like, you see anybody who is famous for being... His name is Fatty Arbuckle, and you're like, well, he's just a stout gentleman, you know? Like, there's no fat anymore. We've redefined fat. He's a reasonable-sized guy. Yeah, one of those...
I just read something, speaking of Fatty Arbuckle.
usually a tricky conversation.
No, I'm not going to go where everyone else goes. Speaking of Fatty Arbuckle...
Let's do Jamie Thomas next.
Is Oh, man, is that inside. That is so inside that I'm not even going to merit it with anything more than pointing that out. I think what I read was that Oliver Hardy had a rough time when in the silent movie era before he teamed up with Stan Laurel because people confused him for Fatty Arbuckle.
I can see they look pretty similar with the suit and the kind of their whole shtick. Yeah, well, that's tricky.
Yeah, isn't it?
Well, that's always been my fear, you know, because unfortunately, my name is actually Steve Miller. I know I go by my middle name, and I've
gangster of love.
Yeah, the gangster of love. And when I was younger, Steve Miller was still more popular and more prevalent. And so, you know, people used to be like, "Hey, Steve Miller Band, whatever." And that has pleasantly drifted off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's kind of forgotten now for the most part. I've lived in fear for a long time that they're going to, like, you know, they excavate his house and they're going to find, like, 14 Boy Scouts bodies under his thing or whatever. And all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh, Steve Miller's here. It's like, no, don't do it again. I think having somebody with your name do something terrible just sucks. You know, like, no, don't ruin it for all of us.
Well, Harvey Fierstein just had that incident.
Or Weinstein, you mean?
No, Fierstein.
Fierstein?
People were blaming Fierstein.
Oh, snap. That
Iceberg
sucks.
Goldberg, what's the difference, right?
Yeah. Oh, especially he's like the one thing I have not done is harass a lot of women. Kind of my thing, you know? Like, wow, I never thought. Because he does, he's like, yeah, schlubby, older. Like,
uh-huh.
He kind of vaguely fits the description.
Uh huh.
Oh, wow.
Little bit lecherous, yeah?
Yeah, that sucks.
So back to Fats Domino. I was. It's kind of interesting that when I saw it. It's like, wow. He had the nickname Fats, and he lived to 89.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
So take that, National Institute of Health.
Now I love it when the old guys like keep going, and especially these old blues guys or whatever, where you just feel like it what percentage of people that he played with didn't make it to 50?
Right.
I mean, it's got to be just massive. I mean,
right.
he's the equivalent of the guy who's
how many people who did his songs, who actually redid his songs 20 years later, didn't?
Definitely. I mean, you think of, he's basically the equivalent of a guy who, like, landed on the beach at Normandy, you know, went on to fight in the woods, and then hopped onto a carrier and went to the Pacific and lived to tell about it. You know, like, most of the people he was in the band with didn't finish the set.
Yeah, I think the only one from that era, pretty much, is Jerry Lee Lewis. Am I right? Is Jerry Lee Lewis
is still alive. Yeah, he is still kicking.
So that's, Fats Domino. I did not...
Yeah, and now Chuck Berry just passed away.
Right.
I think fairly recently.
And Little Richard,
yeah.
Those were kind of the diehards.
I kind of thought Little Richard would never die. He was the one guy that I thought might just keep me in here.
He was the previous generation's Keith Richards.
Yeah, kind of. Sort of a
little Keith Richards.
Kind of, I'm almost like an alien to him. You're like, well, you're not even a person. You've transcended some kind of boundaries or something. Dana Gould has a great line about Little Richard was a gay black man who sang in the 50s about sleeping with white women when a lot of those things were frowned upon. I was like, nailed it, Dana Gould. That is a very accurate description.
Yeah, it's so Pat's down. Blueberry Hill. Okay.
Was a big one.
Uh-huh.
Yep. It's funny. You know, he might be a guy who at this point was sort of just known for being him. More the last 30 years than, say, Chubby Checker, everyone goes to the Twist, or, you know,
yeah.
Jerry Lee Lewis, you go to Great Balls of Fire. Not that Fats Domino's songs didn't live on, but it's kind of like, oh yeah, Fats Domino, what'd he do? He's Fats Domino! You know?
which actually interesting is a lot of those people from those previous eras, mm-hmm. the only touchstone that people have with them in this era is their Christmas songs.
Yeah.
It's Brenda Lee.
Yeah, absolutely. That's true.
Bing Crosby.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's like, it's the one thing that tradition kind of hangs on as everything else evolves. We still went old.
Yeah.
Nobody knows your Christina Aguilera's remixed Christmas or whatever, you know?
Well, maybe some people.
Maybe somebody does.
It's my favorite is the Neil Diamond Christmas.
I've never heard that.
Oh, really? Oh, no. Neil Diamond's got a couple Christmas albums out.
Oh, yeah?
Just cracks me up because, hey, it's Neil Diamond, and B, it's Neil Diamond.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't he of a different persuasion, perhaps?
Yes, he is. He did not celebrate Christmas.
He's not listening to his own albums, basically.
He does do a great version of the Hanukkah song, though.
Oh, yeah?
It's Adam Sandler's got Hanukkah song.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of fun.
It's hilarious because it's Neil Diamond sounding like serious Neil Diamond.
I bet with a guy like Neil Diamond, where you've written every commercial jingle from the 70s, basically, you're like, hey, I know how to write jingles for hire. He's like, I'm Jewish and I don't eat cornflakes. I write Christmas songs and the jingle for cornflakes. Like, you know, in a way, that's like the true talent that can be turned on to absolutely anything, right? Like, write an Italian nationalist march. Okay. I've never even been to Italy, but I can do that.
No, again, it's because it was persuaded. How much?
Yeah. I always get good. Yeah, we're down to our last. Do we have any great old black bluesmen still? Like B.B. King's dead. I think Fats might be the last major. Like you said, Jerry Lee Lewis is.
Well, that's rock and roll. That's not.
Yeah,
that's
Jerry Lewis is rock and roll.
That's not blues. It's.
Fats kind of split the difference. He's a New Orleans guy, you know.
Right.
I think he became in the last part of his career more like in a New Orleans institution, like Dr. John or somebody, you know. Where you're like, those guys all wind up going back to the original sounds, you know?
Well, once the hits start happening, mm-hmm. you go back home and you're still a celebrity there. Absolutely.
That's my career plan.
Well, that's what's been keeping Ted Nugent alive for the past 20 years.
Almost Senator Kid Rock is going to be playing shows in Detroit, right? And 30 years from now, wearing your old Halloween or your old stage outfit. Yeah, so, yeah, R.I.P. Fats, that's a bummer. Is there any singer that you're, or I think we talked about, is there any celebrity that you're, like, dreading their possible demise, or somebody who hit you really hard personally?
No. No, I don't think so.
Mine's Stephen King. I'm going to be a wreck when Stephen King dies.
Really?
He's my favorite. I've been reading since I was a teeny tiny little kid. I wanted to read and write.
Is he still putting out the stuff, though?
Yeah, he's still good.
Oh, wow.
His new stuff is actually, he's hit a little, you know, like a career ebb and flow, and he's on a nice.
I heard that he used to farm out his stuff lately,
nope.
though. No,
nope.
Is that not true?
No.
Is
he's
that
one
just
guy
a rumor?
No, he is one guy who never farmed it out.
Huh.
I mean, he has a couple of things that are, but they have other people's names on them. But anything with his name on them,
oh, okay,
that's the man. But no, I'm going to be pretty broken up when he goes because that was my guy.
Because you've read everything.
Yeah. Well, when I was a little kid, those commercials would be on TV, the Stephen King Book Club, and I was like, I got to figure out what that is. I got to read that stuff. You know.
I did. There were a couple instances. Mm-hmm. There was one. I like collecting like celebrity autographed photos of obscure celebrities.
Sure.
Like B. Arthur was like doing a piano. It was like she was doing a Broadway review, just mm-hmm. her and a piano player, and it was in town, and I can't remember why I couldn't make it. And I said, you know, it's not. Someday I'm going to regret that I didn't go to see that show and try to get an autographed picture of her.
Yeah.
And it's sure enough,
the big Golden Girls glossy is.
And the other one was I was doing a college. And the next night, Kurt Vonnegut was going to be.
Oh.
And I said, you know, I should stay over.
Yeah.
And that's another regret.
Never got an autograph from him, but I didn't meet him. But that is a story for another set.
Regular subscriber to the podcast, and why aren't you? You know that I'm recording in Minneapolis because I am working in Minneapolis this week. It's I've been promoting the week on Facebook for about a month as a Trick or Treat with Tim Slagle, and I've got a Halloween routine that I don't think I'm going to do this week.
I was going to ask if you were going to do your Halloween bit.
I had thought about it, but originally when I said that I was going to hand out candy, it would the thought was that I would do it so that people would know why I was handing out candy. Mm. And I thought about it. I said, you know, that bit has got to be 30 years old.
Well, I remember you telling me one time that somebody was telling you, like, oh, no, I've seen somebody else do that bit, and you were like, yeah, they wrote that 2 years ago, so I beat them by a scant two decades.
Yeah, and it's actually for one year at Crash and Burn, I actually had it was a bit that I still think has merit, but I don't know where I can do it, where I actually start doing the Halloween bit and then start arguing with the kid who is now 30 years old.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. I remember you doing that.
Yeah, it's an interesting piece that I don't know where I can take it. I'm thinking of maybe getting into like there's fringe festivals all over the country now.
Oh yeah,
is taking it and doing it in a fringe festival.
Oh sure, because they're like it's like a 45 minute show.
Yeah, exactly.
It's perfect length.
So it would kind of fit in there.
The length we're very comfortable with. 45 to 50. Got ya. 64. Ooh, I don't know. That's weird.
So yeah. So. I was talking to Lewis a couple weeks before, and he said something about he was going through a couple acts that some of them who were like really famous for a moment, and some of them that are still pulling drawing in the theaters, and he pointed out the difference is that the ones who are still drawn in the theaters have a new 45 minutes once a year,
mm-hmm.
and the ones that are still doing impressions of their mom.
Yeah, I think it was a Chris Rock thing who said it, but it was very smart. He said, "You can repeat yourself, and people will come back if you come back and do another set people have seen. They won't be mad at you, you know. Like, oh, that was funny. I remember last time that was funny too. But they don't come back the next time because they say we've seen it. They just assume that it's going to be the same the next time,
right?
And the next time.
Right. No, that's a good point. There was a comic when I was starting up. His name's Leo DeFore, the Comedy Corner in Windsor, Ontario." Where he used to do the same week after week, and people used to come out and see the same bits.
Wow.
I don't know if it's Canadians.
Trudeau's like, all right, this is going to work out great for me. For me 104 times in a row.
So, but he was just, they loved his bits so much. They would come out and he was hard to follow. He would host the show. He would MC. And sometimes he'd do a half hour in front of another comic. And that he would kill. And then essentially he hired acts to go on during his breaks.
Yeah. Well, that kind of fits the Canadian system in a way where the second guy is kind of,
yeah,
whatever. And then the headliner comes up.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a. Anyway, so I kind of thought about it, and I said, I don't know if I want to do the Halloween. But I'm not saying I won't.
You can bring it out for the Friday Late Show or something.
If somebody requests it, if they refuse to go, if they refuse to leave, and they start clapping till I come back on stage.
Lighters start flickering in the thing.
Yeah. What, you want the Halloween candy bit?
You know what I bet they do now? When they want to do an encore, everybody holds up their glowing vape pens. No one's got lighters anymore. You see the little LCD light on the pen.
So that was I structured the promotion for the week and handed out candy. And if I get this up before I go home, while there's still shows, I'm here till the 28th of October. I will be handing out candy. So normally I come in and on my first day in on my Wednesday, I go and do K Talk, 11:30 a.m. Twin Cities, and this week I didn't get a call. And finally I asked, I said, are you guys going to put me on the show? And he was like, oh, that's this week? I thought it was next week. Why did I think it was next week? And I said, oh, because next week is Halloween. And I'm promoting it as my Halloween show.
Because the Halloween to a comic, right, is
right,
the
right,
weekend
right. There's
before
two,
the holiday.
Right, there's two Halloweens. There's two St. Patrick's Day. There's,
yes.
There's parents' Halloween, and there's Barfly Halloween. And Barfly Halloween happens on the weekend before the holiday. This is the weekend that everyone's going to be coming out in costumes.
Yep.
Whereas next Wednesday, there's not going to be any costumes.
It's funny you say that. I almost missed a show I've never missed a show. I almost missed a show for my first time last week because I had two shows on a night during this comedy festival. They were both on October 21st. One of them was a midnight show. So on Friday, October 20th, I was hanging out with Jamie Lissau, very funny comedian, and we were having a good time. And my phone rang, and it was the festival booker saying, it was about 12:10. Where the hell are you? You're on in 15 minutes. I said, no, both my shows are on the 21st. He said, no, it's a midnight show.
Oh.
I said, and we patched it up, but I said, man, that's not the same thing. Like, you can't, I'm not doing the math on that. Like, if you say the 20th, like, that's the day. Like, I have a show on the 21st at 8:30 and a show on the 21st at midnight, you know? These are the 21st. I'm not, same thing. It's exact same confusion. I made it in time, by the way.
Wow.
Terrible set.
Well, yeah, midnight shows are never
But
they're
never
the easiest thing to do.
This Halloween, what do you think the big costumes are going to be? And by the way, how insanely hacky is a Trump costume going to be at this point?
Oh my God,
that's got to be the pariah of any party, whether you're doing it for pure spite or pure enthusiasm.
Well, you know, it's funny you should mention that because I was doing a series of political shows in Chicago last year,
right? Yeah,
And one of the debates happened. The first debate actually happened on the night of that I was scheduled to do it. Mm-hmm. It just fell that way. So Bert, the GM of Mizzani, said we should do a riffing the debate. We'll run the debate live in the club, and we'll get a bunch of comics to make cracks while the debate's going on. And that's a great idea. And Amanda Cohn, another one of the comics I invited to do it, said, you should do bingo, too. And she made up some bingo cards and passed them out. So I went looking for prizes to give away with the bingo. And went to the Halloween mask store, and I said, well, I'll buy a Trump mask, and I'll buy a Hillary mask. And they had Trump masks. There were no Hillary masks.
Yeah. Well, Trump was at the time too. No one thought he was going to win, and he was the client. It felt like a Halloween costume, you know, like this goofball, the crazy apprentice guy, or whatever.
Yeah, but why wouldn't there be Hillary masks?
I think there would have been this year. I think if she was president, I mean, I'm surprised there weren't last year. I think there would have been this year. But I think it's not like a deference to the president or anything. I just think like no one wants to walk into a party and see Donald Trump. You know, it's like it'd be like the equivalent if you went to get a punch bowl and you took a knee, and it's like, come on, man, I'm just trying to have a good time. Do we have to bring that crap up at the Halloween party?
Well, it was kind of interesting. They're made in China. And
yeah, of course.
And they were not called Donald Trump masks.
Of course not.
They were called billionaire masks.
Perfect.
because China, if anyone knows that somebody that's going to sue for his trademark.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, there was a Prince costume. I saw someone send a picture on Twitter or whatever. And it was a Prince costume, clearly Prince, but it was Purple Rock Star. Just like the socialist knockoff version.
Which is interesting, too, is if you go to a fireworks store, Purple Rock Star is also a display you can buy it.
That's true. And it used to be an energy drink for a long time. Yeah, what are the big costumes going to be? I really think people are going to shy away from the political costumes.
I think there's going to be some Pennywise.
Oh, you're right. Pennywise is going to be the big one. That's absolutely.
I think there's going to be. I think there's going to be group costumes. I think it's going to be the boys from Stranger Things.
Yeah, because last year, like, you had to be on the stick to be a Stranger Things costume. I saw a couple.
Uh huh.
But I mean, that had come out like what, a week before or something. Yeah, this year is going to be big.
It's interestingly, it's my niece was diagnosed with leukemia last year.
Oh, right. I remember you saying that.
And she it came through fine. She had total remission. So she's but she lost all her hair. And it's like, oh my God! All you need is a pretty dress and some anklets, and you could be
11. Yeah. Oh, that's pretty great.
I don't know if she did it or not.
Yeah, you're right. That'll be the big one. And I bet Wonder Woman is more popular than ever. Always a perennial costume you see anyway.
Yeah, but there might be new Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Linda. I can't remember her name. Linda Carter.
Yeah. Oh, you know, be really funny to go to a Halloween party this year dressed as Ken Bone and just see everybody be annoyed and confused. Like, what? Like, you guys, Ken Bone. Remember Ken Bone?
You know, we were talking about that last year.
Yeah.
And I think we actually made a few jokes about sexy Ken Bone.
Yeah, and it was a thing.
And it was a thing. We looked it up, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Do you think there's got to be like a porn movie based on Ken Bone by now, right? Like, there has to be.
I don't know. Are there porn movies?
Well, the themed clips.
And speaking of themed clips, I don't know how it is that follows, but I think that's that. If you like the show, give us some stars on iTunes. Give us a share on Facebook. You can catch all the episodes if you're not subscribed at timslegel.com, or you follow me on Twitter at timslegel.
Yep, or go to BrianMillerComedy.com or at RealBrianMiller on Twitter. And hey, if you see any crazy costumes, email us or tweet us. Send us a picture if you can. I would love to hear what the dumbest costumes people see are the best ones. If they see a lot of Trump things, you know, I'm curious to hear what's out there.
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be some Trump. I'm sure there's going to be some bros that think Trump is funny.
I think if you do a Trump costume, you have to have a secondary riff on it. You know, like, it has to at least be like zombie Trump or something. It can't just be straight, you know. It's got to have a twist. That's my guess. That is no.